We're continuing with Yeshaya. We're up to what's called the third chapter, the 11th Pasuk. And the Navi had said that their brazenness, the brazenness of their faces is testimony of how sinful they are. They're not even embarrassed. They publicize their sins just like the Sodomites. They're not embarrassed. Woe to their souls, because they're really hurting themselves. What the prophet demands of them is Imru Tzadik Kitov. This is what we ended off with. Praise the righteousness of the Tzadik. Kifrim Alelehem Yochelu, because they will eat the fruits of their toils. And Oy LeRasha Ra, that's what we were up to. Ki Gemul Yadav Yaselo, woe to the sinner, to the wicked one, because he will get paid back just as he himself behaved. And here we discuss the Gemara about the two types of tzaddikim. There's a tzaddik who is good, there's a tzaddik who isn't good, there's a Rasha who's evil, there's a Rasha who is not evil. The distinction between tzaddik, one who performs the mitzvot, between him and his creator, and tov, one who is good and kind, between him and his fellow man, rasha, one who transgresses the mitzvot between him and his creator, and ra, one who is evil, one who is wicked to his fellow man. So we're up to Pasuk Yud Aleph. Yud Aleph, the 11th Pasuk. Oy l'rasha ra ki gemul yadav ye'ase lo. Woe to the wicked whose actions are bad, because they will be paid back in accord with their behavior. Amin ogisav me'olel v'nashim ma'sheluvo. My nation, its oppressors are jokers. The jokers among them are the ones oppressing them. They're the ones who take the political scene. And the women who are adulterers, they're the ones who rule them, because the women rule the hearts of the adultering men. The ones who are the politicians who lead are those politicians who are adulterers. And so they're constantly trying to make their mistresses happy. And so, nashim mashiluvo, who's really pulling the strings? It's these adulterous women who are pulling the strings. Ami me'ashirecha matim v'derech orichotecha bileyu. Your leaders are causing you to err. Your leaders themselves are pushing you off the correct path. V'derech orichotecha bileyu, and they wear away the path, the honest, good path that you used to go on. You go down the halls of the airport, and you ask yourself, should I declare on my taxes or not? And then you think to yourself, how many politicians are not declaring? Why should I? So I'm a good guy. I go down the red line, and I say, okay, I brought in a laptop. Tell me how much taxes I have to pay. And as I'm schmoozing with the guy behind the counter, he tells me, you know that we stop every politician that walks out here? And most of them are trying to smuggle things into the country? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, they think if they're politicians, we won't stop them. We stop them. And every one of them is trying to bring into the country something that they're not going to pay taxes for. How does that make you feel? Mashrecha matim, the people who should be guiding you, they cause you to err. V'delcho chotecha, even if you were going, even if the people were going on an honest path, bileu, they wear it away. A person says, why should I? I've heard from so many taxi drivers. If every politician is being caught on cheating on their taxes, why should I pay those taxes? They wear away the honest path that the people were on, meaning the people were on the correct path, but the leaders destroyed the path. Nitzav lariv Adonai ve'omed ladin amim. Hashem says, I am standing for a fight. I am standing here to judge you, and I'm standing here to judge the nations. Who are the nations? So the nations are the people of Israel. In truth, each tribe is called a nation. And that's the idea that the tribe of Benjamin was supposed to have 12. 10 from Benjamin, 2 from Yosef. Had Yosef not sinned, Yosef with the wife of Potiphar, he didn't commit adultery. But Chazal tell us that he, as he was standing there containing himself, 10 drops came out of him. And Chazal say for those 10 drops, he lost the 10 tribes. Yosef has only 2 tribes. But the truth is that from Rachel were supposed to be 12. So the 10 were Benjamin and Yosef. 10 children from Benjamin, 2 children from Yosef. Yosef could have lost it all had he committed adultery. But every one of the tribes is like a nation. And so this has halachic implications, but that's the idea here that Hashem says, Ve'omed, Hashem is standing, Ladin Amim, to judge nations. The intent is the people of Israel, which are considered a conglomerate of nations. That explains also why we have different versions of prayer, the different nuscha'ot, as the Magen Avraham in Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Arizal, that there are different gates to heaven, and each tribe has their gate, each tribe has their way, so to speak, their line in accessing Hashem. And that goes in line with the idea that each tribe has their flag, and each tribe has their color on the breastplate, and each tribe has their type of design on the talis, because each tribe has their strengths, and each tribe has their personality. And that's why each tribe needed a different portion in the land of Israel, because we know the land affects the people. You see, look at the Germans, look at the French, look at the Spanish. Every person has their temperament, and part of it is connected to the food they eat, connected to the land they live on. Yesh eretz megadelet kiborim, the Talmud tells us. When Moshe Rabbeinu told the spies, go check out the land of Israel, he said, there are lands that produce brave warriors. There are lands that produce weaklings. Yeah, even in the United States, you go to New York, you see the average New Yorker. You go to Chicago, suddenly you see these guys big like bears. Yeah, different lands develop different people. People look different. The land affects the people. And that's part of the answer why Jews from different places look differently. It's not only because of intermarriage. Even without intermarriage, the land affects the person. So the different tribes are like different nations, and that's why they had different lands within Eretz Yisrael, which matched their personalities. But that's what Hashem is saying here. I'm standing to fight, I'm standing to judge the peoples of Israel. Adonai b'mishpat yavo im ziknei amo v'sarav. Hashem says, I am going to argue with the leaders, I'm going to argue with the elders. Ve'atem bi'artem hakerem gezelat ani bevatechem. You've destroyed my nations. You've destroyed my vineyard. The people of Israel, as we will see in what's called the fifth chapter, there's the great allegory of the prophet Isaiah, the allegory of the vineyard. The prophet Isaiah will later discuss how Hashem planted this greatest vineyard to produce the greatest wines, and it's totally destroyed and corrupt. And that vineyard, the prophet will say, is my people Israel. So Hashem now, throughout Yeshaya, and now we see it already, the Navi is saying, you've destroyed my vineyard. Who's my vineyard? My vineyard is Am Yisrael. Wine is always the idea of a secret. The gematria of sod, secret, is identical to the gematria of yayin. The idea is that when you look at a grape, you don't see wine. You look at a person on the outside, you don't see what's inside. The people are called Hashem's vineyard because they have potential, just like a vineyard. If you tend to the vineyard, and you develop the vineyard, and then you develop the wine, so then you could have something that's very worthwhile. It takes time, and it's not visible to the naked eye. That's the vineyard. That's Am Yisrael. But you, the leaders, you, the elders, the Altem HaKerem, you have destroyed my vineyard. You have decided to take it to yourself and consume that vineyard. You go into your homes and you see that you stole from everyone, even from the poor. I walk through your home, so to speak, Hashem says, and I see gezeilat ani, the thefts of the poor is even bevatechem, in your homes. You've consumed everyone. Ma'lachem tidakeu ami. Hashem turns to them and says, why? Why do you oppress my nation? Ufnei aniim titchanu. Why is it that you destroy the faces of the poor? Ne'um Adonai Elohim tzivaot. So says Hashem, the one who controls all the armies, the one who judges everyone. What does it mean, you destroy the faces of the poor? That when the poor turn to you for justice, you shame them and you cheat them in the justice system. Vayomer Adonai, Yan ki gavehu benot Zion, vatelachna netuyot garon, umsakerot einayim. Now Hashem turns to the women. We just said the women were committing adultery. The women were leading the nation. And so now Hashem turns to the women and says, you daughters of Zion, why are you so destructive to my people? We will see throughout the prophets, we saw it already in Treyasar 2, the Palot HaBashan, the Navi spoke about those fat cows of the northern Israel, of the Bashan. And the fat cows is a reference to the fat women, in those days that was considered beautiful, who would keep pushing their husbands to steal more and more to fill their gluttonous desires. And so they were the ones pulling the strings. They were the ones who were pushing their husbands to oppress people even more. And so Hashem turns to the daughters of Zion and says, why? Why do you walk around so proudly? Why do you walk around with all this eyeshadow, looking at everyone, desiring what other people have? Umesakerot einayim, your eyes are always curious to see what other people have. Haloch v'tafof telachna uvragleihen te'akasna. You walk around like you're floating. You walk around in haughtiness. You walk around like aristocracy, calmly, like you have no cares in the world, everything's fine. And yet, with your own feet, you cause sin. How did they cause sin? They'd walk by a guy and slightly brush their leg against his leg. So they'd know how to tempt him, how to seduce him. And that's v'raglehim, and with their feet, te'akasna. They spill in their venom. That's the te'akasna. Chazal say they used to have in the heel of their shoes a perfume, and when they'd walk by a guy that they wanted to seduce him, they'd stomp down on the heel, and then perfume would come out, and the guy would get all aroused, because, wow, what a smell. V'sipach Adonai kotkot b'not Zion. And so Hashem says He's going to pay them back. He's going to make their foreheads have leprosy, have tzaras. V'Adonai pothen ye'areh. They say to Hashem, and they were telling their husbands, what are you scared of God for? Let Him bring it on. Prove it, God. We don't believe it. And so Hashem says, fine, I'll show you. You take confidence in your beauty. The strength of a woman, the Talmud says, is her beauty. The Talmud says a man has to wear his armor, and a woman comes with her armor prepared. The Talmud says a woman's armor is her beauty, her charm. And so the women were confident. The reason they didn't care if there was a destruction was because they figured, so just like I seduced the nobles of Israel, I'll seduce the Babylonian nobles. I'll seduce the Kasdi nobles. So Hashem says, no. What I'm going to do is I'm going to cause your systems to go awry, and you're going to be having menstruation without stop. And then, even though you'll try to seduce them, they'll be so disgusted with you, they'll throw you off their chariots. And that's what the Navi says. Vashem poten ye'areh. And Hashem will now the word le'arot has multiple meanings. It could mean to uncover. It could mean when you put a sword in the sheath and you draw it from the sheath, the movement of something from within its encasing is also called le'arot. Le'arot is to pour something out of its encasing. So ye'areh could mean to uncover. Ye'areh could mean to pour out. So there is a dual interpretation in this prophecy. Either Hashem says pothen, the word pothen means their private apertures, so their vessels, so to speak. So that's talking about the female organ. Hashem will ye'areh. Either Hashem says I will have it pouring out, it will be flowing. They'll be menstruating nonstop, and no, they won't be able to seduce any of the enemy's nobles. Or it means it will be uncovered, that the enemies will force them to travel naked, which is what happened at the destruction of the temple. They stripped everyone and they led them naked out into exile. That was part of what happened in the destruction of the first temple. And Hashem says, "Bayomahu yasir Adonai et tiferet hachasim v'ashevisim v'asaharonim." On that day, Hashem says, I will remove all the ornaments these women used to wear. I will remove the achasim, those special shoes that they wore. I will remove the shivisim, and that was a type of netting they wore on their head. I will remove the saharonim. Those were jewels in the shape of a moon. Hanetifot v'asherot v'hare'alot. I will remove their pearls. That's netifot. That's a pearl necklace. I will remove their sherot. Sherot is their bracelets. I will remove their re'alot. Re'alot are like the Arab women wear, the veils. Hapeirim v'atzeadot v'akishurim uvatei hanefesh v'halechashim. I will remove their hats. That's peirim. I will remove the tzeadim. The tzeadim were bracelets they wore on their thighs. I will remove the kishurim. Kishurim were strings that they'd have hanging from their hair. Look, nothing changed. Uvatei hanefesh. The batei hanefesh was a necklace that they'd wear that landed next to their heart. That's why it's called batei hanefesh. And the lechashim are their earrings. That's why it's called lachash. You whisper into the ear, so the earrings were called lechashim. Hatabaot v'nizmei ha'af, their rings, their nose rings. Hamachalatzot v'ama'atafot v'amitpachot v'acharitim. I will remove their beautiful clothing, that's machalatzot. The ma'atafot is like the cape, what a person wears above their clothing. The mitpachot are the scarves. V'acharitim are different types of purses that they wear. Hagilyonim v'asidinim v'atzinifot v'hardidim. Gilyonim are the mirrors. That's why it's called gilayon, like gilui. You reveal yourself opposite a mirror. That's why gilyonim is a mirror. Vasidinim, and the different blankets of silk that they'd wrap themselves in. Vatsinifot, and that's different types of scarves they'd wrap around their head. Varididim, that's a type of thin gold that they'd carry, some type of a gold jewel that was pounded to be very thin. That's why it's called redid. And we have a description of how many pieces of jewelry? 24. From here we have the concept that a woman can have 24 pieces of jewelry. And that's the idea that a kala should be adorned with 24 pieces of jewelry. Corresponding to the 24 pieces of jewelry that they use to seduce improperly, we say the 24 pieces of jewelry should be used properly, as a kala should be adorned, as a Talmud Chacham Chazal say should be adorned with 24 pieces of jewelry. What are those? The 24 books of Tanakh. So from here we derive this concept that there are 24 jewels. That's what a person can have. That's 24 types of ornaments. And it should be used for the positive, Bezrat Hashem.